Brother and Sister Wells had a flat tire on 95, so remember them in prayer. Lord, keep them safe, and they're trying to get it fixed now, so keep them in mind. Take your Bibles. Turn with me this morning to the 26th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. And our portion of scripture this morning will be dealing with verses 69 through 75. We've titled this message this morning, Will You Deny Christ? Will you deny Christ? And before you answer that, I remind you that just a short time before this, space of an hour or two, Peter thought there'd never be a time that he would deny the Lord. But now we find him in these verses, after having fled when they took Jesus captive, and then following him afar off, and setting and warming himself with the servants of the high priest. Now we find while he's sitting there, warming himself with the servants of the high priest, we find a maid that comes to him. You were also with Jesus, the Galilean. But he is quick to deny it. Deny it before them all. All that were there, the servants of the high priest and all that was there. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. And just a short time after that, another maid says to him, Well, you're the one that was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denies with an oath. I promise you, I don't know this man. And after a little while longer, those who stood by came and said to Peter, Surely you were with this man. Your speech betrays you as having been one that was with him. And then he began to curse. And to swear, which the word swear means to speak with an oath. I promise you, I was not there. I don't know this man. And immediately, the rooster began to crow. And he was immediately reminded of the word that Jesus spoke to him when he said, Before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. There are those that want to claim that this book the Bible, the gospel, just some device of man, something that was devised by man. If that were so, would they have written about one of its greatest preachers denying the Lord Jesus Christ? And many other instances of man's sin. People of God, God's men, but they sinned. There are three things that we want to consider this morning in looking at this. The first one is the nature, the full nature of Peter's sin, of which he was guilty. You and I would say, and rightfully so, it was a great sin. Here was a man who had followed Christ for 3 to 3.5 years. He had been prompt in professing faith, declaring his love for the Lord. A man who had received immeasurable mercies, loving kindness, was treated by Christ as an intimate friend. Certainly he was the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, this one who was close to the Lord, the one who had received all these benefits of the Lord, the one who loved the Lord, denies 3 times that he knew Jesus. What sin? What sin? How awful. It was committed under great aggravation, yes. He had just received the Lord's Supper. He had declared loudly that he would go to prison and even die with the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that in verses 33 and 35, and also when we were covering those verses, we looked at the book of Luke as well, and Luke is the one that said that he would go to prison. He would die with him. In verse 33, of Matthew, the 26th chapter, our text at the time was, Peter answered and said unto him, when Jesus had said that all of you are going to be offended of me this night, or all of you are going to stumble because of me this night. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're not going to deny me once or twice, but you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. Verse 35, Peter again said, unto him and says, though I should die with, though I should go to prison and die with you, yet will I not deny thee. And our, that verse makes it a point to let us know that the rest of them said likewise with Peter. Peter had been warned of that fact. Who had Peter been warned of that fact by? He had been warned of that fact by the testimony of Peter's own lips, by Christ, the Son of the living God, the one in whom it was impossible for him to sin. He cannot lie. And he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. One who knew all things. Well, what sin? Well, when we consider the sin, it was a sin that was committed under very little provocation. What provocation was there for Peter to have sinned this sin? Two women, two maids, signifying a young woman, make the comment that he was with Jesus. Well, what threat could two women have, two young women have? Then they that stood nearby said, well, your speech gives you away. We know that you were with him, that you're a Galilean as he is. There's no threat. So no threat seems to have been imminent. No violence. But it was enough that he did not pour on. Not once, not twice, but three times. He denied with an oath. Finally, I believe that he cursed and he denied with an oath, and it was in an effort to persuade them that he wasn't. Didn't know the man, wasn't with him. And so he cursed and promised that he did not know him. Under no threat whatsoever, only that which was perceived in his mind. And let us take note of this occasion, this sin. It plainly teaches us. It teaches us that even the most spiritual among us, we're only human. And we have many infirmities. We're surrounded with many infirmities, many weaknesses, many shortcomings. We have faith. Yes. We hope in Jesus. Yes. And we love Jesus. Yes, we love the Christ. We have love towards Christ, and at times we manifest great love for him. But at times, we're still overtaken in a fault. We're still overtaken in sin. We're still guilty at times of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Not wanting to speak up for Him. Not wanting to speak up for our Lord and Savior. Not wanting to declare His precious gospel to others. Why? Because we're afraid of what people might say or might think of us. The flesh is weak. And Satan is, as 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, Satan is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And so we're told in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, like Peter, take heed lest he fall. There be any Peters here today, and we all are at times. Take heed lest you fall. It also teaches us our duty of love, agape. Agape towards those who do fall, those who do stumble, those who do sin. Sometimes we're pretty harsh with them, aren't we? We sit back here and we look at them and we say, oh, how could you? That's terrible. What did Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 tell us? It says to us, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Ye which are spiritual, restore them in the spirit of meekness and gentleness and kindness and humility. But ye which are spiritual, consider yourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Lest you also stumble, lest you also fall into sin. Consider the fact, you know, if we would consider that when we talk to people, when we talk to them in a much loving, more loving and mild and gentle manner, if we consider ourselves that, well, the next time this might be me. And how do I want a brother to approach me? How do I want a sister to approach me? Well, the second thing that we want to look at this morning is and consider is steps. The steps by which Peter came to this point of denying Christ. I believe these steps are here. We see them plainly in Scripture. They're recorded in Scripture. Why are they recorded in Scripture? They're recorded in Scripture for our example. They're recorded in Scripture for our learning, for our admonition, that we might learn from them. After all, the It's the Holy Spirit which led holy men to record them for us. I submit to you this morning the first step that we see and look at is a step of self-confidence. Pride. That's what self-confidence is. It's pride. You're lifted up on high with pride. He said in the verses we already referenced this morning, Matthew chapter 26 and verses 31 to 35, and we referenced Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, Peter said, though all forsake you, though all should stumble, forsake you, but I won't. I won't. Be so bold as to make the comment, I'll go to prison with you. And I'll die. Well, first of all, he didn't go to prison with him. That's why he followed afar off. That's why he fled when they took Jesus. He was afraid of going to prison like Jesus did. And so he followed afar off. Well, I'm following Christ. How many of us are guilty of that? Well, I'm following Christ. Oh, we may be way back here following Christ. We're following Christ. Well, right after that step of pride, we see the step of indolence. We see the step of laziness or inactivity. Well, you say, I take offense at laziness. I mean, after all, if I'm tired, if I'm sleepy, I mean, we got to sleep, right? Well, Christ didn't sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he tell Peter and the other apostles? He told them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Those were the words which he spoke to. Matthew tells us that he spoke it to Peter in verses 40 and 41. But as we compare the other Gospels, even the rest of them, the other eight that he left seemingly at the gate of the Garden of Gethsemane, he said almost the identical words, watch and pray with me. Watch and pray with me. Why? They enter not into temptation. Well, so we have the step of pride and we have the step of indolence, sleepiness, sleeping when it should have been praying. There was a need for prayer. But the next step that we know it is the step of compromise. Compromise. In verse 56, it tells us that they all fled. The apostles all fled when Jesus was taken captive. So we would call this basically the step of cowardly compromise. Peter included, along with the other 10, fled. And Peter, having fled, but following afar off, he went into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants. He sat with the servants of the high priest. Like he was one of them. We noted that in verse 58. Just like he was, well, I'm with you guys. I'm not a disciple of Christ. How many times do we portray to the world that we're one with them? We're not a disciple of Christ. We see the next step then. We're sitting there with the servants of the high priest. Sitting there just like one of them. What is it that we read in the book of 1 Corinthians? The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, in verse 33, tells us, be not deceived. Don't be led astray with this thought. Evil communications, evil companionship, evil company, wicked company, wicked companions. They corrupt good manners. They corrupt good habits. You hang out with the wicked, and you hang out with them for long, and you're going to find yourself doing the same things they do. That corrupts those habits that you had that were good, and you're no longer doing the good that you would, but you're doing the evil which you would not. You see? And then the last, well, it's where we find Peter today. The threefold denial. The denial. The swearing with an oath. A promise. I promise you, I don't know him. And then the cursing. And right on the heels of that cursing, he affirms again with an oath. I don't know the man. You see, he had reached the point that just a short time before that was unthinkable. I'll not stumble because of Christ. I'll not deny you. Though all would forsake you, though all would deny you, I won't. I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. I'll not deny you. You see, he reached a point that was unthinkable to him in his mind. He reached, shall we say, the bottom. Oh, that each one of us this morning that are Christians, that call ourselves Christians, oh, that we would remember that the moment that we are lifted up with pride, we have started on that slippery slope which leads to the bottom. leads to the places that we think we would never go, to causes us to do things that we thought we would never do, that we would never be guilty of. There have been many a Christian, many good church members that have fallen. And thereby they are discouragement for fellow Christians, fellow church members. And just remember this. Each time I fall, each time I sin, each time you sin, it gives occasion to the enemies of Christ. It gives occasion to the enemies of God to rejoice, to mock, to blaspheme. Pride is a departure from God. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Chapter 6. I dare say pride is the cause of all sin. We think too highly of ourselves. We think too much of ourselves. In verse 16 of the sixth chapter says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look," right there it is, pride. And look what it leads to: a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. What is the cause of all those listed? Right there at the top, right there at the beginning. Pride. Pride. Look also in Proverbs in chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and I think it's verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit. What is a haughty spirit? Pride. That's what that haughty means there. It means pride for spirit before a fall. Oh, do we crucify pride? It's what Paul talked about. He died daily to self. He died daily to what? He died daily to pride. To self. Actually, the terminology that he uses there, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is literally means it beats his body black and blue. To beat it in. Mission. Not that he literally did that, but you know, you get the meaning. Sometimes we do. We have to beat those desires and passions and get behind me. This is not of the Lord. This is not of God. This is not pleasing to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It'll cause his enemies to mock and to rejoice and to blaspheme his holy name. Third point this morning, last point. Notice the sorrow. Notice the sorrow that Peter had, which I believe definitely manifests that he was a child of God. He did love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks to us this morning because if we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are truly in Christ Jesus, when we commit sin, it produces this kind of sorrow. Verse 75 of our text says, he went out and wept bitterly. You say, what does that word bitterly mean? It means bitterly. Severely. Uncontrollably. He couldn't believe what he had just done. Not once, not twice, but three times. And the last time, in an effort to make it convincing, he cursed. That word curse there means to call down curses. And then he spoke with an oath. I promise you, I didn't know him. See, this is one thought that we need to focus on every time we read it in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Peter wept bitterly. Don't just read over it, but give some thought as to him weeping bitterly and why he wept bitterly. We need to understand that to a child of God, our sin produces sorrow. Notice the connection here between unhappiness and a departure from God. A child of God, a true child of God, in sin is not happy. He's not joyous. When God reproves and rebukes, and it was God that reproved and rebuked Peter, because when he did it the third time, he remembered the word that Jesus had spoken. He remembered the word. You see, that's what the Word of God does to us. It's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing, piercing asunder. A heavy heart and an uneasy conscience. A hope that is clouded. Clouded with many doubts. Have you been there? Have you experienced it? That's what sin produces when it's left go, when it's unconfessed. That'll always be the consequences of backsliding. Read with me the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. Notice what it says there concerning the backslider. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But a good man, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. In other words, he takes no delight in himself. He's beating himself. Get behind me. And so he's satisfied because he's walking in the ways and paths of the Lord. But the backslider, he's filled with self. He's filled with pride. He's full of himself. You've heard terminology. Well, that individual sure is full of himself. It ought not to be said concerning a child of God. We need to realize that if we love peace, if we love inward peace, I'm talking about inward peace, the world's going to rage against us outwardly. But even in the midst of their raging against us outwardly, we have an inward peace. A peace that passeth understanding. We need to realize that to maintain that inward peace, we must walk closely with the Lord. We can't follow afar off. We can't warm ourselves at the fire with the enemies. We can't be full of ourselves. We need to be full of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on Him and following closely with Him. In Peter's bitter whipping, we see a difference between the true believer and a mere professor. You see, the true believer, he may go on for a time in sin, but God's not going to leave him go indefinitely. He will bring about repentance. He will bring about a godly sorrow unto repentance. And you will weep bitterly. You will weep bitterly. At the same time, be filled with joy. Because therein manifests that you are really a child of God. The professor, the one who merely professes salvation but doesn't really possess salvation, he does not cease from his sin. Look with me at 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children are they. Those are yet in their sins and trespasses. The mere professor of salvation and not possessor of salvation, he cannot cease from his sin. It's the only thing he knows. He has no life within him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be filled with the desires and passions of the flesh is death." It leads to death. You're dead in trespasses and sins. However, the child of God, he hates sin. He despises it. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 101 and verse 3, the psalmist says there, he says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." And then in the 119th Psalm, in verse 163, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." I love the word of God. He said, "I hate those things which are evil and wicked." And when he falls into it, by the grace of God, he repents and seeks from it. That's what we're told in the book of Proverbs in chapter 28 and verse 13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that hides his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth it and forsaketh them have mercy." They have mercy with God. You see, these verses sat before us. The way of the true child of God. The heart and thoughts of the true child of God. Just because you're a child of God, don't think that when you sin, there won't be consequences to your sin. Yes, you can confess your sin. You'll be forgiven your sin. But there will be consequences. Just ask David about those consequences. David was forgiven. He repented. He repented in sackcloth and ashes. He wept. He mourned because of his sin. But he suffered the consequences of his sin. His own household turned against him. Tried to take the throne from him. And he wept bitterly again when that son was slain and was killed. Saying, "Oh, Absalom, ask him how I would have given my life for thee." There are others in the scriptures that we see that have sinned. They were forgiven, yes, but they suffered the consequences thereof. They didn't continue in their sin. They repented of their sin. And they turned from their sin. All signifying to us, yes, we as children of God, we will sin. And when we do sin, we need to repent of our sin. We need to confess it. We need to forsake it. And then seek God's grace to bring us through the consequences. So this morning, certainly this passage has been full of exhortation to us, admonition, instruction. It's been instructive to us. There have been lessons that we have seen that we ought not to forget. We ought to remember. Do we profess to have hope in Christ? If we do, then let us take notice of our weakness. Let us all confess that we're but men. We're yet in this flesh. We're yet weak. And it's only as we look to Jesus and keep our eyes upon Him that we can abide faithful, steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Already begin down that slippery slope, that spiral. Have we been lifted up pride this month? Have we been lifted up with pride this week? Have we been lifted up with pride today? Are we guilty of keeping company with the wicked? Have we left our first love? In the book of Revelation, the Ephesian church was guilty of having left their first love. What was he talking about there? He's talking about the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's cold. They left their first love. They were doing many good things, but their hearts waxed cold toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Has our heart waxed cold toward the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, we need to repent. We need to seek His mercy. We need to turn to God, to His will. Reminded of what we're told in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 22. Oh, I love this verse, and out of God ought to love this word. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen? Praise God for that. Because His compassion faileth not. Verse 23 tells us that His mercies, which are because of His compassion, are new every morning. Thank God. Do we thank God upon rising in the morning that His mercies are there with us? He was merciful to us through the night, and now His mercies are new each morning, each day that we arise. Let us remember in closing the verse that we had in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Let us remember that. Don't think too highly of ourselves. Think highly of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think highly of His grace and His ability. We have no ability but for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're only strong as we abide in Him and He in us. Shall we stand and have a song?